It's good to be in service this morning, feel the presence of God, to know that God is doing something like He never has in the history of the world. Very few people are privileged to see it, for Jesus said, few there be that find it. Very few people are privileged to see it. I see Brother Hamby here this morning. He and his wife made it in. We're certainly glad to have you, brother. A little disturbed since you hadn't got here before, but it's good to see you here this morning. It's hard to believe that people could be under this and still be on their way to hell. It's really hard to believe. It's hard to believe that a man could be in the room with a year's supply of groceries and sit there and starve to death, but it is the truth. I've actually got people that are here in the presence of this that I watch day after day. And because of their stubbornness, rebellion, contrariness, and determination to be with their relatives, to be with their friends, and to do things their way, they're dying and going to hell in leaps and bounds. And don't intend to change it. Even visions, there's been visions where these same people were lost. But there's nothing you can do about it. There's one thing for sure, that you either live in the mind of God or you live in the mind of man. And when you live in the mind of man, the Bible teaches that the backslider shall be known by his doings. For the backslider, the scripture said, shall be filled with his own ways. And his own ways is, as the world said, to do his own thing or to be with his own desire. That's a backslider. And there is nothing you can do. You can talk to those people and you can get them to change their mind. Get them to where it looks like that everything is going along real good. And then, just like that, they get out of the presence of the Spirit. They lose the illumination and activation of God. They go right back to the mind or the origin of their nature, which is the carnal side of life, to do the things that they so desire. Like a brother... it's hard to call him a brother, but I guess you would call him a brother. At least Jesus called Judas friend. Kind of hard for Jesus to call him a brother, but he did call him friend. But like a fellow the other day, they're always catching some of our brethren off the campground, talk to them, especially the babies. Wolves prey on babies. And somebody caught one of our brethren off and was telling him, you know, how that he ought not be in agreement with this, and referred to one of our brothers on the campground here, said, that brother over there on the campground said he's not in agreement with it. And, you know, you couldn't hardly believe that, could you? That somebody would live on the campground and go off the campground and do that. Well, if that's hard to believe, if something else is even harder, that they would live on the campground and do it, like Absalom did David. Catch them as they come in and kill them. Kill the little spiritual children. Knife them to death with the blade of their tongue when they first come in. Murderers. Thieves, Jesus said. Killers. Catch them and kill them before they have a chance. Well, Absalom finally got his. He did that. But God finally rewarded him according to his evil doings. And these others, Paul said, their folly will proceed no further. Though they go about subverting whole households, yet God will get them. And when he gets them, it'll be bad. It's not coincidental. That is, it's not to mean. In that the same brother he referred to is one of the brothers that I saw in the conspiracy against me the other night. And have seen making trouble for me and my wife in a vision, which I believe had to do with the church. But there's one thing for sure. Jesus said we're to love our enemies, do good to them, and despitefully use you. But he said, he that hath eaten with me, that's taken my own bread, has lifted his heel up against me. So it is. In that you do it to the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said, you do it to me. It's the same betrayal. Now, I'd like to say I really appreciate the efforts of the brethren going down to the house, and they just look like they've completely resurrected the old place. It's still some more work to be done, but they have done so much until I see Brother Cantrell this morning. It's good to have Brother Cantrell with us. It looks like that they've just resurrected the place down there, Brother Cantrell, their labor, and we really, really appreciate it. I thought Brother Red was supposed to be with us this morning. He come visiting yesterday, and he said he would be here, but I haven't seen him. But anyway, we are real grateful. Brother Frank Beretta worked hard yesterday, him and Brother Jerry and some of the others, spraying the barns, the old rusted tops, and they painted one of them red, and they're going to paint the other barn. And I really appreciate their efforts. I don't ask the women's husbands to come over. They do that on their own. They do that voluntarily. And in the church here at times, I've asked them to come over, but very few that I ask then to come over after things turned out like it did. But I appreciate them coming. A lot of times I try to get certain men to go back because the Lord will show me that their wives are not in harmony with it, and that they give them a hard time, and I'll try to persuade them to go back. But some of them are just a little bit stubborn, and they don't intend for their wife to rule them, so live, die, sink, or swim, they intend to stay. But I don't want to cause any conflict in a home or in a family. You know, speaking of loyalty, something really warmed my heart the other day that I heard concerning Brother Ted Carnes. You know, your little folks will tell on you. You have to watch what you do. And his little boy was telling the other day how that Brother Ted had gotten in a conversation with somebody. And he was telling how that whoever it was trying to tell him some things and said, Brother Ted just stood and looked at him and grinned, you know, says all he did is stand there and look at him and grin. And said the other fellow really got frustrated and looked like he got disturbed and upset, you know. But that's the best way to do. If you don't understand something being said, the best thing to do is just stand there and don't say nothing. That way you don't have to answer for nothing. If I don't understand something and somebody's talking to me, I just don't say nothing. And that way I don't have to answer for something that, whereas if I'd have said something, I might would have had something on my conscience. I want to read this. We've read this many times. And I want to read it. And I want to comment just a little bit on the seven thunders that we speak of in the book of Revelation. Yesterday was a real significance to me, and today is carrying a great significance. And even though there wouldn't hardly be any way that I know to explain to you just exactly what's happening or why that we do the things the way we do them, and inasmuch as we are constantly called into question on what we do, there's no way I know to really get over to you. But nevertheless, we still have to do it. Noah could not get over to the people in his day. Though he preached and though he had the message of the hour, and though he knew that God had spoken to him, and he knew that destruction was at hand, and he knew that he had to build the ark, yet the people would not listen to him. No doubt one said to another, do you really believe in what he's preaching? Do you believe that's right? Maybe another said, well, there ain't nothing to it. And then another probably said, well, my, he sure is devoted to his convictions. He worked all these many years. And another might have said, well, you know, there must be something to it because, my, look at that strange thing that he's building and look how long he's worked on it. There must be something. But nevertheless, no matter what they thought or what they said, it remained the fact that he did build the ark and that they did not accept God nor his teachings. Only the little family that believed in him and followed him accepted it. And there's a good possibility even then that some of those that went into the ark may not have really accepted it, But in that day, grandfather or whatever he might have been was, you know, kind of like an Indian chief. Whatever he said was law, and so then his family kind of had to abide by it. In that the Bible said that Abraham would command his family after him, his household after him. So that might have been the reason. As a matter of fact, I can go farther than that if we had a little opportunity and show you that really it was not the family that found favor with God. The family was saved because Noah found favor with God, which is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not saved because it finds favor with God, but the church is saved because Jesus found favor with God. And in that we're his household, God spares us because Jesus found favor with God. Now I want to read just a little bit in the book of Revelation. And I'd like to take my time this morning, if I resort back to the board, to try to teach just a little bit, because that's what it's going to require. And on Sunday morning, you're more attentive than any other time. It's easier to preach, as a rule, on Sunday morning than any other time, because there's less demons and devils that's got a hold of you. Once in a rare occasion, you'll come in and somebody will be all bound up. But usually you sleep, you get up, and some of you don't eat on Sunday morning. You're in a hurry, and it kind of gets the devils away to where we have a good atmosphere and the anointing. It's easy to preach or teach a lot of times on Sunday morning. So it makes it difficult to be able to find just exactly which way to go. But I want you to listen this morning, if you will, as I try to talk with you about some things, and I want you to try to piece it together. Now, if you're not interested in these things, I don't think you would come to church if you wasn't interested, but it is a true fact that some come that's not interested, that they are sons of Satan or daughters of Satan, and their job is to come and to be carnal-minded. It's their job to come into the church and be carnal-minded, whereas they can think on evil things, like a little boy that I got in here. He constantly comes in with the wrong mind, but when the Lord gets through with him, he's going to have the right mind. He's just a lad, but when God gets through with him, he's going to have the right mind. He got a contrary spirit, but after a while, it'll all blow over, because when the Lord gets through with him, he'll be a nice, fine little boy. You can't tell him. Like I kept talking to my boy David a few days ago, and a devil was getting on David. I believe that David is as fine a boy as ever walked in shoe leather. But a devil kept getting on him, and I told him, and I told him, and I told him. And I've asked him not to wrestle on the grounds. I've asked him a number of times not to wrestle or tussle on the ground, which they still don't pay any attention to me. They go right on. But nevertheless, David, in the last few days, he's had his knee hurt real bad, still having trouble with it. And then turned around and his arm, it got twisted and turned all the way back to here. And it really caused a real problem. The doctor said that it'd probably be 6 weeks that he may have suffering with it. See, the Bible tells us that we learn obedience by the things that we suffer. God, if he can't teach us one way, then he's compelled to teach us another way. And if we can't learn by listening, then we have to learn by chastisement. Now, I know that when I teach and when I preach, I have men that lift up their spirits against me. I have women that lift up their spirits against me. And I have people that are overconfident in their own abilities. And one day they're with me, and they don't know that I know this. They don't have the slightest idea that I know it, unless I tell them. But they'll come to my home, and they'll be with me, and they'll tell me how much that they're with me, and go right off and talk to somebody else, and don't think I know a thing about it, what they told them. My, how in the world could a man or woman ever expect God to use them, being in that kind of condition? And you think that the servants of God are so blind that God don't tell them about what you do. Shame on you for your ignorance. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. But there's one thing about it. God still knows, and so does his servants know. If they didn't know, they wouldn't be his servants, and they wouldn't know what to do. I love you, and I know that shakes you up because you know you're guilty of it. But the thing is, I still love you. But you're coming to a bad, bad, bad end. Everyone will come to a bad end, whether it be a woman. A lot of people, you know, they feel like God wouldn't really do nothing to a woman, but I don't know whether you know this or not, but they got prisons for women just like they have men. And those prisons, they put women into it. They put women in the electric chair just like they do men, which is a typical thing that means God has no respect to person. To God, there's neither male nor female. You do evil, and you have to pay for it. Children have gone to the electric chair. One little boy, 13 years old, they put him in the electric chair for murder. So see, God has no respect of person. In the Old Testament, when a person sinned, God would have all the children killed, all the little babies killed. They take the babies, take the children, take the mother, take the daddy, take all of them, and throw them down into a lion's den. And the lions would break the bones of every one of them. He did not spare any of them. All of them was alike to God. It's the same way today. God does not spare. I made the statement before. If you went out here and you found a nest of baby rattlesnakes, just because they're baby rattlers, would you spare them? If you spare them, you give them a little time, and after a while, they may kill your child. So you don't spare them because they're babies. No matter what they are, you kill them because they're snakes. And that's the way God looks at it. That's why He sanctifies our home, that our children be not unclean in His sight. Reading in the book of Revelation, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servant the prophets. Now I want you to notice something this morning in the teachings. There is a few real outstanding things in this passage of Scripture this morning that I'd like to bring to you. One of the things is that when the angel came down from heaven, the Bible said that this particular angel was a mighty angel, and he set one foot on the land and he set one foot on the sea. Now, allegorically speaking or spiritually speaking, an angel standing with his foot out here in the middle of the ocean and then standing with his foot over here in the middle of the earth, that would be some more sight to see, wouldn't it? An angel so big, so great, standing with one foot in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and one foot over here in the middle of the earth. This angel that came down out of heaven, it would have been a terrible sight to look and saw something so gigantic that one foot could stand in the middle of the ocean and one stand in the middle of the earth. And yet John actually witnessed this thing. He saw it. It wasn't too long after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that John saw this. About 33 A.D., they took Jesus. About 70 A.D., they took Paul. And then about 96 A.D., we find John writing this on the Isle of Patmos and seeing this great vision that was for the end time. Because what John was seeing as the revelation of Jesus Christ was none other than the last week of Daniel, which Daniel had seen in a preview many hundreds of years before, back in the B.C. And so then here John was seeing it, and he beheld this great outstanding being as he stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, lifting up his hand to heaven and swearing by God. Swearing
by him that liveth forever and ever, that times should be no more. That times should be no more. A lot of times we say things, and it's a little comical thing. I say it that way because I know that to you it would be foolish anyway. God chooses the foolish and abased things of the earth or the world to confound the wisdom of men. And I say them, but a lot of times it really carries a significance. Like yesterday when Denny was working, Denny said, "When can I turn in my tithe?" And I thought for a minute, I said, "Turn it in when time shall be no more." See, a little simple, silly thing, and yet it's not really silly, and it's not really simple if you know what God's doing. Now, here John is, and John sees this great thing as it takes place. He sees the thing take place, and here the angel is, and the Bible said that his face is lit up like the sun. Lit up like the sun. How many remember Moses? As he stood on the mountain, his face was aglow like the sun. So much aglow that they had to take a veil and put over his face so that he could look at the people. The veil being symbolic of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which God, the great light, the Shekinah glory, veiled himself, so that through the mediation of this body breaking down in part, or as we say, the great sunlight coming through the hemisphere and the atmosphere, the ionosphere, breaking it down, cutting down through the veil, that this great light comes down and becomes a nourishing power to us. God in his three-dimensional act, like the great sunlight reflecting itself over to the moon and then the light reflecting from the moon down to the earth. God, the great light, reflecting himself down to Calvary, which is Jesus Christ, and turning that into blood, as the Bible said the moon will turn into blood, and then down from Jesus Christ comes the rays of the sunlight, which we call the Holy Ghost, which comes to us by measure. The Lord Jesus catching the fierce indignation of Almighty God. It's no wonder that the types and the shadows of the revelation of God show that the moon will literally turn to blood. Blood means fire in Revelation. And the great light of the sun which is coming down that is to hit Calvary, when it hits Calvary, then this great light will actually turn the moon into a great ball of fire, a literal burning ball of fire. Someday it'll happen like that. When Jesus hung at Calvary and the great light of God's goodness come down upon Jesus, it literally turned him into a mass of blood. So that through Jesus, the glory of God might be reflected on us. That he might catch the fierceness of the wrath, a heated wrath of the indignation of God, and absorb that which could harm us, and then turn it into grace that it might come to us. By means of the law, he caught the fierce impacts of the wrath of God, judged by the law, condemned by the law, and died by the law, though he lived every jot and tittle of the law. But being made our sin, he still had to die for us. He had to be spotless, he had to be guiltless, in that the law could not touch him, because the lamb that was offered for sacrifice had to be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But still having to die because of your sins and my sins. And so then as the little ram of the lamb was caught up on top of the mount when Abraham offered up the sacrifice and took the place of Isaac, so did Jesus take the place of us, being entangled in the entanglement of sin and not being able to escape because God ordained that it be that way. Now, seeing the three-dimensional act of God, there's some great things in it. God the great light, which is that which no man can approach. And then Jesus Christ dwelling in that light, and through Jesus Christ we can approach the great light. Now, if we brought it down to a more intimate stage, we'd bring it down to the Word, or to a human mind, or to the mind of the Lord Jesus. That God, who is a spirit, comes to you and I through the mind of Jesus Christ. And we cannot get near that great light except we do it through the mind of Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks, whereas this great light is coming down, that we, as beholding ourselves in a glass, we are changed from glory to glory, from man's image or the beast's image, into the glorious image and the liberty of the sons and children of God. By seeing the revealed light, or the revealed understanding, or the revealed revelation, we are changed from glory to glory until the outer man is completely consummated and we stand as the full stature of Jesus Christ. This is a great thing. God is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of heavenly intelligence. And this heavenly word or life that comes through Jesus Christ, it actually is life that changes us from mortal life into eternal life. It's actually a life, an eternal life, that's released that you can't see, that you can't feel, you can't touch, except it comes through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to do it. I said today, earlier, as we started reading here, nobody has ever found grace in the sight of God. Now you say, but Brother Pike, nor found grace in the eyes of the Lord, so the song said. Now, but let me tell you something. Nor found grace through Jesus Christ. You say, but Jesus wasn't even dead. But the Bible said that he was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was dead on Calvary in the mind of God long before Noah ever came into the world. Noah, Job, you say, was a perfect man. He was perfect through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as God saw him through the foreknowledge of the Lord Jesus. There has never been one man that ever found grace in the sight of God except Jesus Christ. And we have found grace in the eyes of God through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No man ever lived to where he could find grace in the sight of God. When we think of God, we think of God as being a great God of grace, which God is a great God of grace, or he had never prepared a lamb by which he could give us grace. But aside from the fact that we have the atonement, I want you to know there is no grace in the eyes of God for sin. There is no grace in the eyes of God for your iniquity. When you think carnal and you do carnal, there is not one tiny bit of grace from God to you. Not one. That's why that Israel was literally swallowed up because of the wrath of God. The only grace that you'll ever get is through Jesus. And if the Lamb of God was taken out of the way, that God that you think is such a graceful God, he'd consume you in a minute. He said, Moses, get out of my way. I'll destroy every one of them, inspire you, and make a nation out of you. Is that what he told Moses? Every one of them had fasted, prayed, done everything that they know to do, had left Egypt. He said, get out of the way, Moses, and I'll destroy the whole bunch of them. And I'll just spare you and make a nation out of you. Moses said, Lord, just blot my name out of the book. Just blot it out and spare these people. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that exactly what Jesus did, the prophet likened to Moses? When he stood face to face with God, he said, just blot my name out. I'll go to hell that these might be free. Is that right? I'll stand here if you'll spare the people. But God said, Moses, I'll make a nation out of you and those of your seed. And that's exactly what he did. He never changed his mind. The prophet likened to Moses, he raised up Jesus. He cut off all of the world, and the elders died in the wilderness and never did get another chance. And God raised up Moses through Joshua, the resurrectional part of Jesus Christ, which was Christ, and from that he made a great nation, and that's the only ones that go into the Canaan land. God has no grace except through Jesus. There is no grace from God except through Jesus Christ. Now, this morning when we examine the things that we're speaking of, if I can hold it down to a teaching, if the Lord will allow me, because it's so easy when the anointing gets to moving to start preaching and prancing and walking about, because it just something that stirs you up. And you're so used to that until you just draw. Just time you feel the Spirit of God, you draw. And that's all right. But God wants us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That's why that I try to teach on Sunday morning, is so that we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Because most any time I can get somebody up here that will preach to you, because people love to preach. That makes them feel good. It's a lot easier to holler at you and move about and feel the Spirit. And I can get somebody most any time. But what we want to do is get into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Preaching, as I said before, had been for the purpose of winning the world. That was the sounding of the first trump, Brother Brown, we spoke of it. But this is for the edification of the church, that the church from glory to glory might be changed in the glorious image of God. Is that right? That's what the revelation of Jesus Christ is for. And if a person does not get the revelation of Jesus Christ, they will not go in the rapture. Now, somebody said, they've asked me that question over and over. Brother Pike, do you think these people are going to make it? These people that's running around in mini skirts because they belong to the Assembly of God, Church of God, belong to the UPC. These people that's running around doing those things, are they going to make it? No, they're not going to make it. Somebody said, now, do you think that God's going to reject them? He sure is going to reject them. Now, do you think they're going to be turned into hell? There is some of them that's been caught in the web of the turnover, in the worldly things that God will put through the tribulation and burn the chaff out of them because they would not go on. God is going to reward them, even if it be as much as a cup of water. God's going to reward them. But there's one thing about it. Those people, Paul said, these that do such things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is something we need to remember. God's kingdom is not something you go into. It's something that goes into you. An inheritance is something you receive. You receive the inheritance. You've got to inherit the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a revelation. It's a revelation. Here John was in the Spirit, received the kingdom of God, and here he's found himself in the kingdom of God because he believed in the kingdom of God. And he found himself in the kingdom of God. It's a translation by faith that comes from a superior knowledge, and that knowledge comes from God. This is the same word of knowledge that created the world. The same word of knowledge that made the world what it is. The same identical word of knowledge. Now, I want you to point this out to you again. Here at Calvary, we've got a three-dimensional act of God. This thing shows God the great light, which is the Son. Then it shows that the next thing is Jesus Christ, which is the moon. And then the next thing it shows is the church, which is the stars. Remember that the sun is also a star. Don't forget that now. The Bible said, until the day star dawns within your heart. The day star is the sun. The sun, if you'll study science, you'll find out that the sun is a star. And it's the day star. It's the star that is to arise within your heart that will completely eliminate all the shadows. That star is Jesus Christ. That star is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me? There is the stages of the great light, which is God the Father. Then there is the stages of the moon, which is God the Son, as it's referred to in the world. And then there is the stages of the church, which is the stars of heaven that God refers to. Now, I want to show you something here. In the church, which is the stars, there is two kinds of stars. In the church, there's two kinds of people. These two kinds of people make up the church. They're the twins. Stars, there's two kinds of stars. There is one star that is just exactly like the sun. It has its own light. It can burn by itself. It doesn't depend on anything. Then there is another star that looks just exactly like that star, but it doesn't have any light at all. It is not relative to the great light, but it's relative to the moon. Are you listening? It is not relative to the sunlight, but it is a relation of the moon, and the moon is only a reflector. These others are only a reflector, which means that as there is a sun, there is a moon that is a type of the sun. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, but I want you to listen and try to absorb what I'm saying. A woman does not have the power to give life. Now, I want you to listen to this now. I know some of you will run off on a tangent. Somebody said the other day, "Boy, you really fixed us women up. We really felt good about it." I said, "Well, that was just the first part of the three parts. Wait till we get to the other part." Now, that's not to degrade the woman, because the woman is just like I said the other day. She's very precious. But there is a perspective for her as well as the man. In the perspective of the man, if you'll notice, the woman cannot give life. She does not have the power to give life. I know if you go before a judge, that the first thing going to happen, the judge is going to give the woman custody over the life, which is the baby, and he's going to hold to her. The reason for that is not because she is justified, not because she's righteous. She may be a wretch, and if she disobeys her husband, she is a wretch. But the thing is, the judge is going to grant it to us because we are in the realm of the church at this time. This is the church. Jesus said to Satan, "This is your hour." And he uses the woman. This is the woman's hour. That's why America is a woman's world. It's the woman ruling the world, the church ruling. You understand what I'm saying? But wait just a little longer, and then when we get over in the millennium, see then who's got the right. It won't be that way at all. It'll completely reverse. Because Jesus Christ was made a male when he came into this world. He was made in the fashion of a male when he came into this world. In what I'm speaking to you about this morning, it shows that the man has the power to give life. The woman does not have power to give life. The children does not belong to the woman. Children do not belong to the woman. They belong to the man. Somebody said, "Prove that by the Bible." The children does not belong to the church. They belong to God. The church only travails as a carrier to bring the children into the world. And God shares the children with the woman because she's willing to travail for the children. But the life, the seed, the blood, everything come from the male. The woman didn't have nothing to do with it. Therefore, in the world to come, it'll be altogether different. It'll be a male world, whereas this is a female world. Now, it doesn't degrade a woman. If a woman will become one with her husband, she is one flesh. That means that whatever he is, that's what she is, and she becomes a life-giving substance by the union of oneness with her husband. But if she cuts herself off from the husband, she is altogether a branch that withers up and dries out and is cast into the fire. There is no hope for the woman to be saved except through a husband. It's like a mother. A mother knows what to do with the life that comes from the father. She takes the little child and she caresses it and she lullabies it and she sings to it. The same way with the moon. The moon picks up the fierceness of the great wrath, whereas mother always catches the wrath of the dad. The dad, some of them, is just as wicked and wretched as they can be. They're always saying something mean to the mother or something to hurt the mother or to tear down the mother. One day God will turn them over a good spiritual barrel, and when he gets through, he'll just about take the seat of the pants out, so to speak, like I tell my little boy sometimes. But the thing is, the mother catches the wrath, the fierceness of the indignation of dad, that she might lullaby the little child. A mean, contrary man is like Satan. How many of you know that? And his wife should be a worldly woman, because the world is the bride of Satan. Whereas a good man is a type of Christ, and he should have a good woman, which is the church. And not only that, but God will not bind the Son of God to a worldly woman. He won't bind a godly woman to a worldly man. He won't do it. Now, you might make an agreement to live with them,
But the Bible said a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. God will not form a union between darkness and light. It can't be. Now, I want you to see that in the teachings this morning, if we can get around to what we want to say, in the teaching that the great sunlight, if we look back over here, we can refer to it from this place because this was the Garden of Eden, the sunlight of the whole earth. The great sunlight of God, it is a life-giving substance. This great sunlight, like the light here, coming down, this sunlight comes down into the moon. By night, the light is shed abroad through the stars. Now, we are in a world of darkness. We are in a world of darkness. For God, as I've said in the teaching before, He reckons His time from evening until morning. From the time that Adam fell from the garden right here, it became dark. And it's continued darkness. It got darker and darker and darker and darker. And it continued to get darker until Calvary. And then the dawn began to break. At the cock crowing. You know not whether he come at the cock crowing or the midnight cry. But it began to break dawn. Right here, the dawn began to break. After the midnight, it began to break. That's why Jesus hung till 12 o'clock. You understand what I'm saying? He hung there from the 6th until the 9th hour, which would be from 12 over 3. From here, the breaking down of the midnight and the changeover to the world of light and the world of night, which was the law and the wrath of God, it went out. That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. The first man, Adam, that whereas he had been life and had gone into the beastly veil, that beastly veil at last had reached the place of consummation. And here on the altar, the big brazen altar, the body was now being burned by the blood and wrath of a consuming God, which is called a consuming fire. That this body was suffering without the gates. And in the Old Testament, the beast's body was taken and burned without the gates. Here it is outside of Jerusalem that Jesus is suffering for us. So then the big brazen altar here stands as Calvary, and we see the Lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish being consummated to do away with the veil part here that Adam had carried all the way from the garden over to Calvary. Now, from this, remember, the beast's spirit was released. The inner spirit of life that had got in bondage. Like you kill a rat, you release the life. You take away the perversion. Now, that's a type of a worldly man and a worldly woman. Pestilence, a destroyer. God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. Men that make Adam bums. Men that go out and kill animals on a massive scale just for sport. God said, I'll destroy them that destroy the earth. Men that destroy morals, that take away decency, that have lust devils, and women that destroy the teachings of Christ where the woman is supposed to obey the man, the women that are contrary, that destroy these laws. I'll destroy them someday, God said, to destroy the earth that are contrary to my ways of life. And then I'll bring in a world where it will be according to my mode and way of life. Alright? Here comes the dawning of the day. From Calvary, the daylight began to break. The dawn began to come. But remember, the effectiveness of Calvary is not until after the tribulation period. Because Calvary denotes the time of the tribulation. That's what Calvary is. Daniel's last week. Now, it denotes the time of the tribulation period, and the dawning of the new day is the millennium, the thousand years reign. The reason for this is because man looks on the outward appearance, and whatever God does in the spirit cannot be recognized in the natural until it takes effect naturally speaking. But now remember, spiritually speaking, for the church, it's already taken effect. Do you understand what I mean? How many of you know that the Bible speaks of God shortening the days for the elect's sake? How many of you know that God's speaking of Israel when He says that? He's speaking of the Jews. The last week of Daniel said that these 7 days would be so bad in the days of the last week of Daniel that I'll have to shorten those days. If I don't, the fierceness of the wrath of God and what Antichrist does, that the whole earth and everybody would be consummated. See, Israel is God's elect. But that means spiritually here at Calvary that it happened for the church's sake because we're the spiritual Jew. Now, here at Calvary, we have been translated in the kingdom of God. We're already in heaven. The world has ended. And this is not the world for the church. It's the church ages that's leading over to the kingdom age. You follow me? We're already in the kingdom. We've already been translated in. We're already spiritual subjects. That's why Jesus said that you don't know the day nor the hour. He said, they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom? He said to the Jews, he said, it's not given unto you to know when I'll come back in the millennium over here and set up a kingdom. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to do it. Because that's what they were interested in, was the restoration of the kingdom of David. And the Bible said that the son of David would sit on the throne. So then Jesus was to sit on the throne. But then he confounded them by the inner Christ speaking from within the veil. The outer Jesus was numbered with the millennium and will come back in the millennium. But see, here it was to end the life of Jesus, right here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Here was to end Jesus. Therefore, this Jesus could not continue with the Jews and tell the Jews that he was going to set up a kingdom because at that particular time, because he could not. He knew that this was the end of his ministry, right here, as far as for that period of time. The only one that could speak up was the inner Christ. And the inner Christ had to say, my kingdom is not of this world, or my servants would fight. My kingdom is not given to you to know. He said, for the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but it is within a man. Now, if this had been the outward Jesus speaking, whereas Jesus said, it's not I that doeth the work, but the Father within me that doeth the work. If it had been the outer Jesus, he would have said, well, sure, in a short period of time, after the church ages, I'm coming back, set up my kingdom in the millennium, and you're going to be under my control, and these 12 apostles are going to be kings that will rule over you. But see, it took a change, and it confounded the Jews. They didn't understand. They thought, what is he talking about? His kingdom is not by observation. Well, we've never known anything about a kingdom except by observation. That's why the Jews could not accept Christ. They was expecting a great king to come by observation, which Revelation 19 records that he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they will accept him. They were not looking for a babe to be born in a manger that was to be despised and rejected of men. So then, the same Jesus, he will come back. As he said at the Mount of Olives, as ye have seen me go, saying to the Jews, if you've seen me go, so shall you see me come. Coming in back to the Mount of Olives, over there, the 10th day of atonement, the 7th month, coming back on the Mount of Olives. He left from the Mount of Olives. He comes back to the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives cleaves in halves. That's why that this message had to start out from Olive Branch in its typical sense. And had to come to Bethlehem. But notice this one thing. The mountain clave in half at Calvary. This was the dividing. This was the rending of the veil. This was where the angel had one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, which means one foot in the spirit and one foot in the natural. Right here, nobody had ever done that. There had never been any living human being could ever do that. But Jesus Christ, he was God-man. He was both God and both man. He was both in the spirit and both in the world. Is that right? And we brought out the teachings here the other night, how that from the time he tried to ascend from here, that he was caught, that is in his natural, he was caught between heaven and earth to make the door between heaven and earth. That by doing this, he might be the break that Michael needed in the days of Daniel when there was war in heaven. Now don't forget this, that when Daniel fasted 21 days, the angels of heaven came down to answer his prayer. Is that right? Then intercepted by the prince of the powers, that is the prince over the angels of the air, intercepted by Satan the prince who ruled over the angels that's in the air, that is spirits, that work in your intelligence that caused me all these troubles. These angels came out. Now, notice this. When the children of Israel was coming from Canaan, how many of you remember, as they started the pilgrimage coming on down from Abraham, they started their trip through the wilderness, coming from Canaan by Abraham through Egypt, through the wilderness, over to Canaan. When they got into a certain place, if you remember, on their journey, they sent word and said, "We're coming through your land." Esau's descendants sent word back and said, "You can't come through here." The Lord said, "Go through the land of Esau. Don't bother anything." Like some of you people, you write bad checks, you buy automobiles, you don't pay for them. You take your clothing and things, you don't pay the man at the store, you don't pay for your food. It's a reproach to God. It numbers you with Esau. Because God said, "Pay your way." This world is the land of Esau. You say, "How can you prove it?" Look at all the beards coming back. The Bible said Esau was a hairy man. Look at him. Jacob was a smooth man, which indicates the glorification, the cleanliness of God. Now, as they journeyed, Esau, they came out against him. And God got so upset, he said, "Just tear it down. Go on through it. Walk on through it." When he got to Moab, Ammon, Edom, these places, he just walked right through it because they tried to cut him off. Now, that was symbolic. When the message came from heaven down to man, here the angels intervened and cut them off. Come right through them and cut them off. And when it did, then God called for Michael. And that's when Michael came on the scene. And that's exactly where we're living today. That's why that we're in this period of time, in this hour when the great barrage started, and when they cut them off and they couldn't break through the lines. Daniel saw this vision that was to be fulfilled all the way over here in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, where John saw it, 96 A.D. It was the battle in the heavenlies between Michael and the angel, where the Bible said that Michael fought and Satan and his angels fought, but they prevailed not, and there was no longer any place found in heaven, but they were cast down to the earth. This is the battle right now. That's why that we spoke of the thunders this morning, because that's where the thunders lay, right in there. In this great fierceness, in this great battle that was to go on in the heavens, like Charlie saw the other day when Superman and Batman met in the heavens in his vision. It had to do with Michael. It had to do with this great battle that was to bring in this new government. I wish this morning we had 50 hours, and I had the strength, and you had the listening patience to go into the things that I understand this morning concerning the kingdom of God. But anyway, you notice the great battle that went on between Michael and between this great power. Here is the dispute. What was the dispute? The dispute was over the body of Moses. When the angel stood and said, "The Lord rebuked thee, Satan." Because he said, "Moses, I'll make a great nation out of you." The dispute was over the body of Jesus. If you could have seen it, where Satan tried to claim the body of Jesus by saying, "You know that he was made sin." But he could not claim it because it was not his sin. Somebody would say, "Make that fit Moses." The Bible said it went ill with Moses for the sake of the people, that he was faithful in all of his house. The devil couldn't touch his body. It was for the cause of Christ that it had to happen that way. All right, now look at it. In the dividing, the daylight coming again. But the daylight wasn't reckoned for until after Revelation 19, which was the coming in of the millennium. It still remained dark from Calvary over the church age period. Why? Even went through the dark age. Why? Because that was the natural part. But we are not children of darkness. We're not children of the night. We're not children of the carnal mind, the beast mind. At Calvary, we took a change. We're not in that region anymore. We're not in the place of the damned anymore. That's the abyss. That's the place of darkness. That's the carnal mind, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the bottomless pit, is their knowledge that goes out into infinity, into the darkness. That's the abyss. But we're not there. We've been caught away. See? When Jesus died here, what did he do? He went down into the heart of the earth. Whose earth? My earth. And he got the soul out of darkness, out of prison, out of the dark carnal reasoning, understanding. Where did he take it? The Bible said that the earth opened up and the saints of God got up and walked about the city. And they saw him. We have been resurrected. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. I'm the light. We're out of the abyss. We're out of the darkness. Out of the carnal mind. We're in the world of light. We're no more children of education and beast reasoning, but we're our children of the light. That they should not take us unaware, but we know that it shall come as a snare upon all of them that dwell on the earth. Because they are children of darkness, they are drunk, and they're drunken in the night of their own carnal reasoning. And according to the scripture, not only are they drunken in the night by their carnal reasoning, but they are a bunch of sluggards that know nothing about the message or the kingdom of God. What is the translation? What was to be done at the thunders? What was the thunders to signify? The finishing of the mysteries of God. Why? It was to bring about the translation. Why is it that at this morning that we're talking about the thunders, and at this morning it is just before the breaking of the golden day, according to the woman that come out and took the pictures that come from the Golden Daybreak Farm, why is it right at this particular time that the woman had the vision that on the 14th Jesus is coming back in the world? Why is it that God gave her a vision like that, in that the preparation of man's heart is from God? Why is it at this time that the translation is to take place, or the thunders is to come forth? We can be blind and not see. Brother Branham told him, even in his day, he said, could it be possible that what you're hearing is the thunders? He told him that in his day. I'm not saying that they are, Brother Branham said, but could it be possible that this is the thunders that you're hearing? And I want you to know it was more than that, because he knew what he was doing, and even though he couldn't precisely speak, Paul said we can't speak of those things particularly because they were within the veil. But it was a fact that it was coming forth in the veil, that he did bring forth in the veil. You say, where does that come in? Moses? Jesus? Did Moses have the revelation of John? Somebody tell me, did he have the revelation of John? He did. Because the Bible said that he made the tabernacle according to the heavenly things. Look in the book of Revelation and see if the tabernacle of Moses perfectly fits the book of Revelation. Everything. But it was within the veil. You say, what do you mean within the veil? I mean that Brother Branham, God being in William Branham, walked this earth in the evening time, found the conditions was as they are, and the ministers and the different ones took that message in the veil. And then when it got in the veil, it was an intellectual concept. You follow me? Speaking of the veil, looking at the veil, I mean that it came to Brother Branham within the flesh. He stood within the temple of Brother Branham. He expressed himself. He made himself known to the world. They took the picture of the light that was over his head, and there it went to Washington. Look at this. When the angel stood on the land and on the sea, where was Brother Branham in this third dimensional age? He was typical of that angel that stood with his foot in the Spirit and out of the Spirit. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Doesn't change my thoughts at all. Here he stood, Brother Branham, the last dimensional type. Here he stood as Jesus in the earth, God within the veil, standing, connecting man back with God, the God-man, God in his Spirit, man within the earth. He said, well, Brother Pike, all of us is that. I know that. I know that you're the God-man. I know you're just as much God-man as Jesus was, just as much God-man as Brother Branham was. I know that. But what I'm trying to tell you is you, as long as you are children, you're different nothing but a servant. Because though you be heir of all, you can't do anything. Because you're still under tutors. But there is a time appointed of the Father. And that time is the birth of the man-child. Now, this sonship that we're speaking of, this great man, Brother Branham, being typically the head in the natural perspective at Calvary, a typical thing of the head, Jesus Christ of the church. We spoke of the rapture at that time of what it would take place. It took place. But notice this. At the same time that it took place, it goes back to the Exodus of Egypt. And we said there would be a rapture. What kind of rapture? Brother Branham pulling his own people away from the ministry, away from the world, into the tabernacle and into his message. You say, how you prove it? Because Martin Luther King was a type of Moses, and at that time, that's what happened. That's what happened. It was an Exodus. Now, it wasn't going to be effective then. Why? Because Moses died at the going in. He died at the going in to Canaan, which is to be effective now. That's why the Passover is again with the resurrection. All right, now, notice this one thing. In the veil, it was in the veil. Brother Branham had the thunders. It was in the veil. Somebody said he never saw the thunders. But he said, I did see the thunders. He said, and when I saw the thunders, they were in an unknown tongue and I couldn't interpret it. You say, what does that mean? Within the veil. Within the veil. It was within the veil. It was not interpreted. But he did see the thunders, which means that it did come forth. Just like he said, could this possibly be the thunders? Why was it withheld? Because the hour of the translation was to be in the hour in which we live. Notice this, in the hour of the translation. What is taking place right now? This thing that's taking place right now, it is the translation. It's not a type of the translation. It is the translation of God that's taking place. You say, what do you mean? When they translated the Bible from the Greek over to the King James Version, what did they do? They took it word by word. When God gets ready to translate, what does he do? God is a spirit. He translates your spirit from one stage to another. Somebody said, well, I'm talking about the body. The body don't have nothing to do with it. Not one thing. You can't show me in the Bible where the body has anything to do with it. The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. It don't have no life. I just got through telling you the woman has nothing to do with family life. Not one thing. She's just a carrier. The man child in my heart, my body has nothing to do with it. It's just a woman. It's just a carrier. God is the giver of life. The translation is by the word. It's the man that gives forth the blood seed. God, the eternal spirit through Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave the seed into my heart. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. The man child. What is it? It has to do with the thunders. The man child. The translation. Notice this now. In the translation. What is the translation? If I can convert your mind from the fact that you believe that you're on your way to hell to the fact that you believe you're on your way to heaven. By faith, Enoch was translated. You have been immediately translated into the kingdom of God. You say, how can you prove it? The Bible said that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Is that right? You press your way into the kingdom of God. Somebody said, but what about the body? The body is nothing more than something that must wait for the marriage. That's all. It's something that has to wait for the maturity. If the birth is here, internationally speaking, massively speaking, though I know it's to you individually speaking, whenever you're converted, the effects of Calvary come. But if it's here at Calvary that this thing is effective, then from the time of Calvary on, the massive part of humanity that's called the church is maturing into sonship by means of tutors and by means of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which Paul received being the apostle to our church, and John revealed in a measure. All right, now, notice this. I want you to stay with me because we ain't half through yet. If you want to hear anything at all about the thunders, you need to stay with me. Now, notice this one thing. Is there a translation taking place? You say, what do you mean? I mean, if I can convert you over in your mind by faith, which the ministry has done, and you are then become the woman that fled away in the wilderness, that's been hid away, the woman that was standing in heaven, Israel, what heaven, up in the second heavens, if you can be that woman that's got up there, remember, the first heaven is being in this world in the grace of God. Remember how we brought it out here in your 1, 2, 3, your outer courts, and then we said the second heaven is in the priesthood age, and I showed you that over there the Jews was in the first heaven, which comes back to the people that's in the world, the bodily part that's not born again. You say they couldn't be in heaven. If them people can't be in heaven, tell me one thing. How is it that Jesus said the dragon was in heaven? If them people that's not born again ain't in heaven, you explain it to me. God ain't going to put up with them no more. You can't go to the hospital. You can't go nowhere without a man turning his mouth into a garbage can. You can't put your arms around a brother and call him a brother without him stabbing you in your back. God's through with them. He's tired of them. All right, now, notice this. Very patient. When people don't know, he's sweet, he's kind, he's loving, like he was to Israel. Look at Israel. He spared Israel all these years, put them in ignorance. Spared them, not left them without chastisement. But the prophet said he'd make them pass under the rod. Is that right? I'll put them in my melting pot. I'll put them in the tribulation. I'll make them pass under the rod. And how many of you are acquainted with the city of Petra? We brought it out here one night that the tribulation period, that which is Edom, history says Edom will escape. Is that right? Edom, Moab, Ammon, which was the over there when Lot committed fornication with the daughters over and him drunk, not knowing what he was doing. When they took advantage. Out of that come those Moabs and Amorites and different ones back there that caused the trouble. Is that right? Those lands are supposed to escape. How many remember the old cities of refuge? Three on this side of Jordan, three on the other side of Jordan. That was the cities of refuge. And if anybody killed anybody or done anything wrong, they could run for the city. If they could make it for the city, they were safe until they could have a hearing. And if the hearing showed that it was a willful thing, then the city of refuge could not hold them any longer. If it was not a willful thing, they judged them and they were free. And so the city of refuge could take care of them until the day that the avenger died out. Is that right? So it is with the woman. It's the same thing. That is the place where Israel will hide away. That's her cities of refuge. Somebody said something against Brother Terrell. And yet, I made the statement. I said, Brother Terrell knows what he's doing. All these places is being built, going through tribulation. The woman in the outer parts coming out of the city, the cities of refuge, a place of hiding, during the tribulation period, which is this, typically speaking, all of these tornadoes is coming. The woman hiding. Is that right? How many remember when I said I saw the cities and everything in the cities turned dark? How many remember that? Brother Zell remembers it? Now, darkness hit the city. The whole city has become dark. That's why Brother Terrell kept crying, get out, get out. He don't exactly know why, I'm sure. But there's one thing about it. He knows God's told him to tell the people to get out. That's enough. If he just knows what God told him. Now, the city's the refuge. Remember, Petra. They say that it's a little place, the passage is about 12 to 40 feet wide. And the sides of it will extend up from 200 feet to 1,000 feet in the air. And sometimes almost come together. About a 2-mile trail down through there like this. And then when you get inside of it, it's an ancient ruins in there of old buildings and all kind of things. And around according to the history of it, around the edges of it, it's honeycombed. And an excavation back in there that's beautiful with yellow and purple and red and white and all kind of colors back in there. It's real pretty. And in this place, they've got about 2 miles where they can come inside of this thing, and there's only one entrance to it. Nobody can get to them. So through the Valley of Petra, where he said to Israel, said, come away with me until the indignation is passed over. The prophet said, come away. Said, it's just for a little while, and then the indignation will be passed over. The prophet gave the prophecy. And it says concerning Antichrist, and these shall escape from out of his hands, Ammon and Moab and Edom. All of them will escape from his hand, according to the Bible, which is the wilderness, for it's down in the wilderness. Remember Kadesh Barnea, that 1 year after Mount Sinai, they journeyed through there. We've got a tape here where we bring out every step of the journey of the wilderness. When they journeyed through there, they went over there to this particular place, and they never did go on in. Remember? It's in the wilderness that this Petra is. This is where it's found, in there. This place, back in the days of Babylon, become a modern place, a marketplace. It was a modern place for exchange. And then it kind of just fell away until about 800 B.C. or A.D. And then it come back in again. And they begin to find this place again. Now then, this place is ordained, as far as we can tell, for the Jews to come in there, go through this little narrow passage, and get way back in there to hide away at the time of the catching up of the man-child, at the time when the wrath of God will be passing over Israel, going under the rod. The two prophets will be with them. These two prophets will tutor Israel until this particular time that God has appointed for them. Now notice this. Speaking of the changeover from the government, which we can't go into it this morning. I wish we could go into it. I always do when I get up here to teach, because I have to condense so much. I leave out so many things that it really bothers me. But Brother Frank Beretta last night, Brother Frank and I, we went through a few things. I think Jerry was there, Brother Jerry Lambert. And we went through some things last night that brought out, and I believe that Brother Beretta will tell you this much, that it shows a complete changeover. Is that right, Brother Frank? Of the government, not only of the religious government, but the government of the United States. Is that right? In the Revelation, if we could bring it out, it positively shows a change. Not only does it show a change from that, but the standards that we use for our gold or our money, the gold standards, will be changed from the standards of gold to the standards of oil. It will be changed. You say, how could that ever be? It'll have to be that way. You say, but how could it be? One way, if you'll just stop and consider. Remember, the gold standard is gone anyway. Have you stopped to think about it? I made a prediction a few years ago it would soon be gone. Brother Taylor, you remember that? Olive Branch. And everybody be running around trying to get the gold certificates. But the gold standard is already gone, because they changed it to a federal note already. Therefore, you don't really have a gold standard. And besides that, the devaluation of your dollar, it's gone. Now, why is the change coming? Because gold represents faith. Let's look into the mind of God. When you look at the mind of God, when you look up in heaven and see these things happening in heaven, which is the mind of God, what shows that it will be like that? Because gold shows faith. Your faith as gold tried in the furnace. And we've been in the days of evangelism, where salvation is by faith. Preaching to you, salvation by faith. There are the standards of our money, and our money being faith, the standards of that money had to be gold. Is that right? It had to be gold, because gold represents faith. The only assurance of salvation that you've got is faith. You say, where do you get that? The only assurance that your money's any good is faith, is the gold that's back up. Is that right? The only assurance that your salvation is any good is faith. For the Bible said faith is the substance of the salvation that's hoped for. Is that right? So then gold is the substance of that which you hope for in the medium of exchange with your dollar. But now then we're leaving the eagle age, going into the dove age. We're making a changeover. What is the difference? This is the church government coming in, which is the kingdom government. The kingdom age, not America, the gold standard, but it is the age of all coming in. Why? Because a Christian don't have to have faith to believe in the salvation of God. They are automatically children of God by predestination. Faith was the thing that was to draw them to it to make them acquainted with it. It wasn't faith that made them a Christian.
It was grace that made him a Christian. The Bible said, by grace, not by faith, by grace through faith. Faith is just a medium. You follow me? It's the medium of exchange. So then the changeover from the world standard has to change over to the church standard. We say, why don't the church use gold? Because that's not our standard. What is our standard? Our standard is the heavenly oil of God, which is the Spirit. So then the Spirit is represented by oil. So the standard has to be oil in the coming nation. You say, what will that be? Antichrist. Somebody said, now where do you get that? Because Antichrist, which is Babylon, is a type of the church government that's coming in, which was denoted here when Jesus was on the earth with the Jews. 3.5 years. Are you following me? That is a type of that which must come in the millennium. Now, if we went into it, I could show you the transfer over from the Old Testament to the New. Let's just say just a word or two about it real quick. In 133 B.C., how many remember that in your teachings? 133 B.C., Attalus died. How many remember Attalus? You remember him? The one who was back there in the Chaldean kingdom. We spoke of it back there when the change of the Medo-Persian kingdom and the Babylonian kingdom was overthrown. And then he changed. It was Satan's seat, which was Babylon at that time. And then it was changed to Pergamos, which was over in Asia Minor. As you remember, Paul's churches was in Asia Minor. See, he changed from that, went over to Pergamos, and then when he went over to Pergamos, you remember our teachings on it? That when he got over to Pergamos, then when John saw the revelation, and he spoke of the age, he said, the age of Pergamos. You remember that? That was the name of a place. We showed it on the board here somewhere, some of those places. When it changed over to Pergamos. We brought this out, but I want to try to, if I remember it, to bring back another thought or two on it. Remember, at that time he died, 133, after that he changed it over to Pergamos. You follow me? All of Jezebel's ritualistics changed over. Then, at this period of time, he died. Well, what he did, remember Rome got started 30 B.C. How many remember that? You remember that? And we took it on back to about 700. It really got started because it goes back to Babylon. And even before. How many remember that? Somebody remember it. Raise your hand if you remember it. Help me out a little bit. All right, then it changed over to Pergamos. Let me know you're at least listening. Changed over to Pergamos. When it changed to Pergamos, then, you ever heard of the Etruscans? You remember reading about that in your Frank, you remember reading about it in the history books. When the Etruscans, how many remember that? Came down from Lydia, came over into Italy. You remember that? They came over into Italy, and it was there that they brought the same Babylonian order that was under Attalus over to where Rome could get a hold of it. And I know you remember Julius Caesar, the one that changed the calendar, made it a Roman calendar to put you under Roman rule to that extent. No, this is the Babylon government that's going on out here in the world. You might not believe it. This is God's government going on here in the church. But remember this one thing, and you'll see it head up to in Atlanta, Georgia. Just wait and see if I'm telling you the truth. If you don't believe this message, and you don't believe this is God's message, just keep your eyes on Atlanta and see what I tell you. And someday God will burn it too. Watch and see. I noticed that it changed over when these Etruscans came down there from Lydia to Rome. Then is when the thing made a change. Follow me? It was about 74 B.C. and Julius Caesar, elected as the pontiff, took over this Babylonian order because Rome adopted him that Attalus had willed all of his order, all of his riches and wealth to Rome. When Julius Caesar came in, he took it over. Then I think it was about 63 B.C. At that time, they made him what they called supreme pontiff, which put him over the whole thing, the emperor, everything. He was the supreme ruler. This continued on, continued over to about 300. And then, about 300 A.D., when a man by the name of Gratian, he rejected it. He wouldn't have it as emperor. So they changed over to the bishop of the church, which had been bishop about 12 years. He made about 366. I believe he got his strength from the Jezebel operation back there, which was the monks. Some kind of monk college got behind him, gave him the prestige, and so then he got to be a bishop, following the Jezebel order. Then when the emperor refused it, then they made this bishop of the Church of Rome. He was bishop of the Church of Rome at that time. Made him the head over the Babylonian order. This is where he became the head of the church. And the church then reverted back, went over the emperor and everything else, and become the head of the nation. And then set up a Babylonian kingdom called the Dark Ages, which we refer to as the Thyatira Age, from about 606 to 1520. And how many remember right after that was the Reformation, which is called the Sardius Age, where Luther went over there in Gettysburg, Germany. You remember that? 95 theses, nailed them up on the door and defied the Council of Worms, which changed it to bring the Protestants. I say that to tie them all together to where you know where we're at now. But it is believed that even Martin Luther, that his struggle was more for a political order than it was for a religious order. So then Sardius, which was his age, is referred to as the dead church age. But what I want you to see here is that Pergamos, after the Pergamos age, when this thing become the church, and that's how it got into Protestantism, the daughters of the harlot, at this time, being a derivative from 325 A.D., where they changed the baptism to the Trinity, went back to the Jezebel thing. You remember the next church age refers to adultery. You remember that? It refers to the harlot and her committing fornication, which was the intermarriage of the church and the state, in that at this particular time, the bishop took over, and the Babylonian system, which was the Jezebel system, now you remember it brought in all this about Easter, which come from the queen of heaven that they worship called Ishtar. How many remember that? Easter and Lent. All come from the pagan. See, when he become the head, then he instigated all these things. The bishop did. Brought that about Jezebel. All of it goes back. You can check every bit of it out in history. And go back to a word tau, T-A-U, which means Tammuz. Go back there, it was some kind of mystery thing that they used in Babylon, and that's where they got their rosary from and the cross system from. And Vestal the Virgin, back to pagan Rome, the worshiping of Mary. Every bit of it goes back to the same head that took over. He introduced it. See, in other words, he pulled Babylon, or the Jezebel system that Elijah overthrew, right back again. That's why that God had to send Elijah again. If the Jezebel system comes up again, there's got to be Elijah again. It's got to be the same thing. Now, you say, I don't believe it's a Jezebel church. Well, why did it turn into powder and paint like it did? Why did it make the martyrs' blood? Why is it in the condition it's in today? This is the third great stage of the Babylon. America is nothing but a Babylon. You don't know nothing about nothing. Somebody said, I know the law. I challenge any lawyer to prove to me he knows the law. There ain't a lawyer living that knows the law. He knows something about the law, but he's just as mixed up as everybody else. There ain't a king, there ain't a ruler in the world, ain't a religion that knows what they're doing. Not one, including the Pentecostal religions. They're so confused, they don't know whether you ought to wear your dresses above your knees or below your knees. And they try to level off by saying, well, if we get our hair down here, it'll be too long. If we get it up here, it'll be too short. We'll take moderation. I know the old trend of the Church of God. We'll take moderation. We'll just wear it half. The dresses, if we get out here, it's too long. If we get up here, it's too short. We'll just take the moderation. Just wear them up above your knees. I know how they do it, because they don't know what they're doing. See, in other words, it's a modern Babylon. Nobody knows what they're doing. You take out insurance. Look at insurance. You take out insurance, you insure a trailer for $8,000, and what happens to you? You think you got an $8,000 coverage for an $8,000 trailer. Living it just a year, 2 years. Let something happen to it,
The insurance man, he comes down, he starts figuring, he says, this year, depreciation. When he gets through, he says, we can't give you but just half what it's worth. And there you are. You ain't even got enough to pay the thing off. It's confusing. Now, you don't find one place where that insurance agent will say, now it's been 2 years old, we're going to depreciate the premium down a little bit here and there. He never depreciates the premium. He depreciates your investment. That's all there is. Crooked. I made the statement. I back out in the road. The police grab me for backing out in the road. I go to town and everybody backs out in the road. If you get drunk, the police locks you up. You go to town, everybody can get drunk. As long as they just buy their own whiskey, stay within the rims of the law. It don't make sense. We give them whiskey. We put them in jail for drinking whiskey, for killing people. We put them in jail for robbing people. We put them in jail. We sell them dope. And then we put them in jail and we feed them year after year of the taxpayers' money. It don't make sense. We take our troops and we send our troops over here somewhere in the foreign countries, and we'll take care of 5,000 families to have them over there with the soldiers. And they'll set over there in places like Fort Knox up yonder. Maybe got 500 whirly birds setting up there. Maybe 5,000 trucks doing nothing but rotting and rusting, and you're paying for it and going hungry to pay for it because of fear and frustration. Won't ever use them the time war is declared. They done got some modern invention. They don't need them. They push them off in the river. Sell them for scrap or something. You say, Brother Pike, that ain't, but it is. What are we doing with all those people over yonder? We got 5,000 soldiers over yonder somewhere. We feed them. We take care of them while the army teaches them to gamble and rob, and they ain't a good soldier unless they can turn up a bottle of booze. Turn your wives into prostitutes. Turn our cities into a cesspool of iniquity for whoremongers. That's what did it. I know I've done seen it. I've seen it happen. I've been present when I've seen it happen. And the man couldn't do nothing. The woman couldn't do anything either because of the mass of soldiers. But let me tell you something. Over there, while all of this is going on, back over there, we're the ones that's paying for it. What can they do? They can't do nothing. In an atomic age, what can soldiers do over there? They can't do nothing. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It's all because of fear and frustration. You understand what I'm saying? Are you going to stay with me just a little bit longer now? It's going to take a little longer. Ain't no need to be lying to you and saying, fix the clothes, because I ain't. If you want to go home, you can, but I ain't fixing clothes. All right, now then, notice this. There's one thing that's taking place. It's a modern Babylon. Where is it heading up? Look at Ricky when he come out of this place up here called Fort Knox. The resurrection, the typical changeover of the government. When the name went all the way up here to Washington, everywhere. And I wrote the letter, and when the letter was wrote by George from Mount Vernon, and it went to Mount Vernon, was received by George, then I got word that I'd received a letter from George. I would have to get the letter and had to pick it up and find out it was signed George. It don't make sense, does it? But it happened that way. Why? It denoted a change over from the government. Look at Nixon. Nixon, nothing, no. The government coming to nothing. And then at the Watergate, there was all gathered under one man. Look what Russ said the other day, Russ Dean. He said that he was afraid that Kissinger was getting too prominent, too influential, that everybody was gathering unto Kissinger because they all was gathered under one man. Not just the United States gathered like around our president, but all of them throughout the foreign countries had to come into the Antichrist, Brother Taylor. God bless you for being faithful, brother. You understand what I'm saying? Here, in Atlanta, Georgia, the government, I said, would change over to Atlanta, Georgia. Why? Because it's Rome. It's Rome, and she's got to control the world. That little stone that was hewed out of the mountain is Stone Mountain in its typical sense. You might not believe it, but it is. That's why the great home run king is up there, Aaron, to draw the people. That's why they have the finest stadium in the world. You might say in Atlanta, Georgia. That's why the dome is covered with gold that comes out of this area. Because of its typical sins. You follow me? Everything's happening. Why? because she's typical of Rome, the third dimensional setting of Babylon. She's coming in. What will be the downfall of it? The Bible said, tidings out of the east shall trouble her. Tidings out of the east shall trouble her. What will be the tidings out of the east that will trouble her? A man child is going to be born. When Kissinger and these people get this thing under their control, and they've got the whole world and they feel like they've got it, there'll keep being an echo. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Our Messiah is coming. And them Jews will about drive him crazy, and tidings out of the east shall trouble him. Then he'll go like a whirlwind against them. The Bible said, gathering all nations together, God will draw every one of them together against little Jerusalem when she refuses to line up with them. To begin with, she will line up with them because she thinks they're going to make a covenant with her. And the covenant is Kissinger going over there trying to make peace with her. And she'll line up thinking that Rome is going to come in through the Confederation of Nations and build back the Temple of Solomon over there. But just as quick as they get about middle ways in that thing, the leader that's got all those nations under his power, the Antichrist, what will he do? He'll rise up and he'll set himself down the temple and make himself God. Now watch and see if he don't do it. Then the Jews will break the covenant, and then tidings out of the east will trouble him. It'll trouble him. He'll always be troubled because he can't get Naboth's little vineyard. He got everything but Naboth's little vineyard, but it was a heritage from the fathers and he couldn't get it. He'll try to magnify the Jews, set them up to bring them into a field of blasphemy where he can destroy the nation. Now watch and see, it'll come to pass. In the days of Jezebel there come also an Ahab. Is that right? And we've been on tape here somewhere with some of those things. Teaching, I want to stay away from that because I want to get on over a little further if I possibly can, if I find the interest. Notice this now. Here is Kissinger up here in Atlanta, Georgia. 17 nations are supposed to come together with Kissinger. That proves the government's been changed. We've never had a UN meeting except over yonder in Washington, D.C. But why is there a change? Because Washington denotes the government coming to naught, which is the gold standard. And the gold standard has run out. And every 200 years, according to history, a government changes. Check it out. We're coming into it right now. What is it? It is the oil standard coming in, which is going to have to do with Georgia. I told somebody the other day, just watch and see. If you want to find out about oil, just watch and see what Georgia is. And you'll know what we're talking about. Here it is. Atlanta, Georgia. Rome. You say, how could that be? If there is a little Bethlehem somewhere, there must be a Salem. If there's a Salem, there must be an Athens. If there's an Athens, there must be a Rome. And how many knows that Rome, Georgia, is just up above Atlanta? It has to be just exactly the way that God planned it. If there has to be that, there has to be a little place where the seven church ages are to come together, where the seven governors resided, and where the government is upon his shoulder. It has to be just outside of Rome. The stone mountain, that's the headstone, it's got the stones carved on it. I wish we had time to go into some of those things to say more about it. But see, the government has changed. The gold standard, that's Washington. What does that have to do with it? Virgin? Let's look at it and see. Calvary? What was it? It was the Virgin Mary. Is that right? Virginia? Baltimore? The Virgin Mary? That was the birth of Christ? No, it was the birth of Jesus. When Christ came, it was a different government. Is that right? What about this virgin birth? This virgin birth comes in effect later, which is the body. That's from Calvin. That's the perspective of it. But remember, this Easter, it denotes the Jews coming out. You say, what's that got to do with it? The body. See, the translation is taking place now. You are on a journey to another country, out across the sea. You are changing from the beast mind, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Right, by the knowledge that's revealed within him, the scripture says, right on into the heavenlies. You're being translated, raptured, caught up by the mind of God. For the mind of God is created. All of a sudden you're going to realize you've been caught up, that you're eternal, that you're in heaven. Old things have passed away. All things are new. God's chosen you out of the world. Hid you with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. That you're not in darkness. The translation. You'll hear it. You'll see it. You'll believe it. And because you believe it, it made it effective. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. By faith, the hearing of the Word, the creative Word, changes you and puts you in another world. Some people will hear it and say, I don't understand it. You know why they don't understand it? They don't want to understand it. They've got an evil heart, and they've got their own personal desires, and they'd rather live their few feeble days down here in the lust of the flesh and satisfy their desires than to give in to God and listen to what God has to say. And so the devil's blinded their eyes because they love the world. The Bible said, Satan, you love the things that be of the flesh. You savor the things that be of the world. You love the world more than you love God. And God turned you over to a reprobate mind to let you believe a lie and be damned, to let you figure it out. And Brother Branham said, when you get it figured out, then you're wrong. It has to be revealed. Now, here's Rome in Atlanta. You see Rome? There's Rome. Can anybody say that Atlanta, Georgia is not as wicked as Rome was? My brother, she's more wicked than Rome was. Atlanta, Georgia's far more wicked than Rome was. Rome at least had some standards of decency. Atlanta, Georgia don't have nothing. That's why they've got the underworld. They've got underground Atlanta. They say that they sat there and drunk their beer and guzzled it down while the tornadoes knocked the buildings and different things down. Why at this time? Why is it that America has put her foot on the moon and she's called the woman nation? Why is it at this time that the red dragon, which is China, is coming in with us? Why is it that the first plane from Japan that landed in the east over here on our fields? Why? Why is she doing that? Why is it that red China, that the Pope of Rome pleaded for her to come into the UN? Why was that? You follow me? It's because at this hour, it is a type to show that Revelation 10, where the angel come with the covenant, was to be made manifest. Who is the angel of Revelation 10? The Bible said he is the messenger of the covenant. Revelation 10, it did not say that he had a rainbow over his head. It said he had a rainbow upon his head. You probably, I don't see the difference. Well, okay. Here, notice, you say, who was he? The Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Brother Branham. He walked around, and the pillar of fire hung over his head. It was there. He predicted the end by 77 from the year of 33. And when you go back to 33, the death of Jesus at that age, the visions he saw. From the death over the church ages in his typical type, which was Brother Branham, figure out the years, it was 40 years in the wilderness. Figure out the time, it was 70 years of Babylon. In our day, it comes out the same way. Figure out the times. Run it out from 60, it happens exactly that way. The red dragon. Look at it. China. Revelation 10. The woman. Who was the woman? Notice this now. Israel is the woman. Israel. That means that America, the woman nation, is the woman that was in heaven. Because Israel is a type of the body. If Israel is coming in, it's redemption of the body. The results of the translation of the inner man results over a period of time from glory to glory in the transformation of the body. Somebody said, you can't prove it. Jesus said that is born to flesh is flesh. Is that right? Now, you know that your first birth was flesh, but he said, that which is born of the Spirit, he said, that is spirit. Somebody said, I'm not spirit. Well, you need to be born again. Here's the angel, Revelation 10. Notice this, in Revelation 10, this angel coming, then he said, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be finished. What was the mystery of God that was to be finished? The seven thunders that was given. Because the Bible said that seven thunders uttered the voice. And this angel said, don't write them, John. Wait. Seal them up for now.
But he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the thunders will be made known. The mysteries will be finished. Like Brother Branham said, if you reveal the mysteries, then the church will be translated. How did it have to do with it? Because here at Calvary, when this thing took place right here, it was the rent veil. When the veil was rent, the testimony of the tabernacle was open. And the Bible said, seen within the tabernacle was God's own testimony. Where does the thunders come in? Let's look at them just a minute and we'll see. I said that the thunders come in the days of Michael. It had to come in the days of Michael. You say, where do you get that? Because the Bible says there was war in heaven. And Jesus, being Michael of that hour, said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. When the thunders roared, when Moses was on the mountain likened to Jesus, all of the noise, the earth opened up and swallowed them. And when the angel spoke from heaven, they said it thundered, which indicates a thunder is a voice. It has to be a message. It was something that was said, and the thing it was said is, this is my beloved Son. I'm pleased in it. Hear it. And when the thunder uttered his voice, he spoke over there and he made the statement, said, I have glorified my name, and I will glorify my name. And at Lazarus' tomb, over there, when Jesus said, Father, thou hearest me always. And the grave opened up because Jesus spoke. Let's just look at it for a minute. What are the thunders? It's when the hot air and the cold air come together. It's when those clouds over here that's got the bright silver lining come together with these fierce clouds over here that's evil and dark. It's the rumbling. It's the mumbling. It's the grumbling. It's the clashing together. You say, why? Because in the latter times, the Jews was to have a war with the natural people, which meant the spiritual people of the church, which is the spiritual Jew, is to have a war with the natural religious bodies of this world. That woman was up yonder in heaven. Is that right? The church world. Is that right? The Antichrist. I know it was Israel. Israel giving birth to Christ, the man-child. But the church world giving birth to the sons of God, the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of all of the philosophy and the fussing, the arguing, and all of these other things that's taking place. Look at it, the thunders. Look at it. Here are the thunders, seven thunders, uttered their voice. John couldn't write them. They wasn't in the Bible as far as being written. Somebody said, they are. You show me where they're written in the Bible. They couldn't be written in the Bible. Because God said, don't write them, John. If he had said, write them, it would have been in the Bible. But he said, don't write them. They're not written in the Bible. But they are comprehended within the mind of God from which the Bible is composed. Which means the entire revelation of Jesus Christ is within the Bible. But it has to be spiritually understood, spiritually discerned. Those thunders was a message. I brought it out on tape one time, building up to some of the things that we're saying now, of what the thunders was, how that God gave them what they meant, and that they were placed within the bosom of the church. They were written on the tables or the tablets of the heart. For John received them in his heart as the church. But nobody else received them. Why? Because if anybody else had received them, it had been translated. It was the message of translation that was hid on the inside. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you can't prove that, but I can prove it. How are you going to prove that? Because he said, in the days of the voice, Said John, don't say anything about the seven thunders, but in the days of the voice, the mystery will be made known. Somebody said, but how do you get that out of it? Because the Bible said the mysteries would be finished. How many believe that the thunders are a mystery? Nobody don't know nothing about them. If the thunders is not made known, then the mystery is not finished. Then the thunders has got to be made known to finish the mystery. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery would be finished. Brother Branham believed that his preaching was the finishing of it. He believed that he made known the thunders with the teaching that he brought forth. But if it was made known, and out of the veil, why wasn't the church raptured? Only a type of the church was raptured, which was his people. We predicted when it would happen. Just like we predicted his death, and it happened that way. What is the thunders? In the heavens. Let's see if we can tie it together for a few minutes and see if this makes sense. Up here in the heavens, when these clouds come together, scientists will tell you that there's a hot and a cold air that come together. When it starts trying to turn into a lukewarm thing, God spews it out of its mouth. When the world tries with their knee-bop dresses to mix with God's church, it turns it into a lukewarm thing and God spews it out of his mouth. If the world will stay cold, God will let the world go on. If the church will stay hot, God will let the church go on. But when they come together, just like the intermarrying of the races, God's against that. Somebody said, I don't believe it. My brother, he's against it. Because it brings in a mulatto people that is not healthy and is not well. I know there's a typical time that comes in where God raises the Superman. But it's not right to do that. When we come together, just like you come together here, the church at this time is trying to mix with the world. They're trying to mix. The world will say, well, we're wearing mini skirts, but if you'll come on in, we'll drop them 2 inches. If you'll just raise yours up 2 inches. And finally, say, you know you've been a little extreme anyway. And they say, well, the world, you've been a little extreme too. You ought to be a little more religious. Well, we'll be a little more religious if you'll be a little more worldly. After all, we got psychiatrists that tell us we got to be balanced. We got to have basketball. We got to take our little boys out to the ball game. We got to train them up in the ways of the devil. We got to send them to college. Got to get them a bathing suit. They need to exercise. And call yourself Christian. You ought to be ashamed to even name the name of Christ. Let me tell you something. When the world starts its mixture with the church, my brother, you can believe the thunders are on. There's going to be a clash when it comes about. Those heavens are a type. Signs. Everything is set there for a sign. Here in these heavens, notice it. In these heavens, here come these cold clouds in. The world is cold. Here comes in. Here comes in the spiritual clouds, hot, burning with the fervency of God. Here they come together. And then they start mixing and mingling with a big, big explosion. A lukewarm mess. God said, I can't have black, black no more, and I can't have white, white no more. I can't have buttermilk no more. I can't have sweet milk no more. They want to mix it up in a mess. So he spews it out of his mouth. He says, away with the world. If you can't stay out there and be natural, away with you. The church, if you can't be hot and on fire for God, away with you. So he spews the whole thing out of his mouth. Just does away with the world and church and everything else. See? In the days of the voice. You say, can you prove that? When that last angel sounded, the Bible said as quick as he sounded, then the voice came forth and said, now the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God. Notice this. When those clouds come together, there is a roaring. There is thunder. There is friction. This is where your lightning comes from. When you mix hot with cold, there's a rumbling. There's a noise like these tornadoes. That's what these tornadoes represent. I told Brother Taylor when we come across the thing out there, the 6,000 mile tour, when we crossed over to El Paso, and when I saw that turmoil come in there like I did in the vision, that it had to do with the rapture of the church. When I cried out, my Father, and the horsemen thereof, and then it came down and swept the earth. It's the thunders. It's the lightnings. Oh, listen at the thunders in the heavens running things come over. It's like a freight train. It just rumbles and rumbles and rumbles and rumbles. Because it's the thunders. The hour of the thunders. But you say, Brother Pike, you can't prove it. You must be deaf. Listen. I don't say this to children of God. I know that you got good understanding. All of them that have got, I'm talking about these people that caused me so much trouble. Listen. Why isn't it the hours of the thunders? The woman's got her foot on the moon. The red dragon is waiting for her. And the Bible said when she had her foot on the moon and the red dragon was there that the thunders came. Isn't that the hour that we're living in right now? Woman's got her foot on the moon. The red dragon is waiting. Just waiting. Communism. You know that the book of Revelation is the prophecy of Daniel, don't you? Fulfillment of it. Seal it up, Daniel, to the end time. And then John, to him was unsealed. To us it's unsealed. Look at Daniel just for a minute. I'm not going to go into all the beasts which represent it because you've got some tapes on it. Cut down the tree, let seven times pass over it. You remember speaking about that? Say, if this was Daniel's image across here, the head of it was gold. A golden head, then the breastplate of silver, and then the thighs of brass, and then the legs of iron, 364 right where the legs come in of iron, the dividing of the kingdom, western and eastern, Rome, one becoming a Greek, one becoming a papal church, splitting up. Right over about the same time, not too far away from the 325 A.D. Notice this. The iron legs, and then come the toes. Now listen real close. Then there came the toes. The feet was made out of iron and made out of clay. And the prophecy said iron and clay won't mix. Now what does it mean? It means that communism and Catholicism will not mix. Somebody said, where do you get that? Look what happened to my little boy, David, last night, watching the mind of God. He hurt his arm, his right arm. What was it for? It was to denote a revelation. At the same time, they turned my house, Brother Gary, into a White House. Me being a president of this work right here, and I turned that into a White House at the same time, and we spoke of it being a resurrection, what it had to do with the resurrection of Christ and Brother Branham. Being a little pyramid-type top, coming into a pyramid shape here on the ground. Brother Thale well remembers that because he spoke of it. Turning it into a White House, getting rid of the rust on the top, going back to the priesthood, turning the little barn red that David has been working in out there all the time. What happened? I took the little boy up to the hospital. All things working together for good to him and love the Lord. God reproving David for his wrong. At the same time fulfilling the revelation. He's never been to a doctor. Never in his life. He didn't know what a doctor was as far as a doctor. But notice this. When he got up there, Dr. Ashford was the one that examined him. The Bible said concerning Christ, not a bone in his body was broken. With that hand, like the ministry, all the way back, slapped back to his arm, that ought to tore up everything in here. I saw the x-rays and examined it. He said, not one bone is broken. Everything was perfectly in order. His body somehow was so flexible that it moved with the crush. Not one. Dr. Ashford, the one that operated on Eisenhower, Eisenhower's name being Iron. The man-child, the doctor, Eisenhower, Iron, Eisenhower the president, the White House. Are you listening? The transfer of the government, Mount Vernon. Rome, the transfer of the government from all the world to Rome, Atlanta, the transfer of the government from all religious walls to Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Here, crucial. How many remember that his name meant clay? Brother Branham mentioned that. Communism. Clay. The toes. What? The confederation of the ten kingdoms is coming out of Europe through a communistic policy. They're coming out. And what are they going to do? They're going to run into the Catholic Church. Somebody said it'll never be, but it will be. Rome always rules with a rod of iron. You say, can you prove it? Rome is a nation of iron? I sure can. Her chariots were always made of iron. Her spears was made of iron. Her breastplate was made of iron. She believes in ruling with a rod of iron. She builds her buildings out of cement and iron. If you don't believe it, go over here to this monastery. She rules with a rod of iron. She believes in an indefinite rule. See, when communists think they've just about got the government and those ten nations come up, the rod of iron's coming up. Because the Bible said those ten nations will give themselves to the Antichrist, but they'll hate her. The ten horns that was on that beast had come up, and that beast, now you say, what was that beast, Brother Pike? We brought it out here the other day. All the world wondered after the flesh, which is the beast. It's the constitution of nation, because the Bible says they're brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. That was shown back there in Daniel's prophecy, in the visions that Daniel had. And when the ten horns come up, out of the ten horns, come the little horn that magnified itself above all the horns, and that was Antichrist. Look at Daniel's visions. Look at John's visions. They was one and the same. Who was the Antichrist? Out of the ten confederated kingdoms comes up the papacy. Comes up the ruling of Rome. That's why we brought out about Attalus. It comes up. The Babylonian order comes in again. Centers around Atlanta, Georgia. She's going to be a modern place like the Greeks. Six Flags and all of it. Some of you run to Six Flags. I don't know what's wrong with you. Now, notice this. Come up. The little horn. Come up out of the middle of the ten. And we said, we got to take, we went back to Calvary, the Ten Commandments. And what it had to do with Christ. And how that it had to do with the ten lost tribes that got lost 721 down in Assyria. How it brought in with the nation Joseph in America and then with Israel, which was Benjamin. You remember how we brought it in. I can't go through those things, but I bring it back to your mind so you'll understand what I'm saying. Out of the ten tribes. That's where Antichrist come from. Out of the tribe of Judah. Is that right? Come up out of that, stood up, magnified himself. You remember Thrace, Macedonia, Syria, Egypt? The four generals that come up out of Alexander the Great? Daniel's vision with the four horns? Remember that? Here, the ten toes, the Bible said that they come up. They gave themselves to the Antichrist. But they hated the Antichrist and someday would burn his flesh with fire. His flesh is his people. I cast him into tribulation, a tribulation period. Into a bed of adultery. That's what she's been doing, committing spiritual harlotry. Won't take the name of Jesus. Anybody won't take the name of a husband, a whore. Are you following me? Her children are bastard children because they don't have a father's name. And that's the father's name. So he said he cast him into great tribulation. That's a period that's coming. And he burned him with fire. His wrath. The explosion of the bomb. Her desolation is coming 1 hour. Somebody said, tie that in with Rome. Look at Brother Branham's teachings. Didn't he say he saw America, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia? A heap of ashes by 77. Her desolation is coming 1 hour. Didn't he say that there'd be a waterway? Didn't I tell you that Atlanta would get a waterway connected with it? And already they connected a waterway where said a merchant set off and said, the great city. Are you listening? God, 1, 2, 3. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Why is Kissinger coming to Atlanta, Georgia? Why is Dean Rust so upset? Why is it all these things had come at this particular time? Why? Tell me why. Why did even Nixon make the statement down yonder, somewhere in Nashville over there, he got interested in music, got interested in things the world said, I'll just come over here and I'll take the music and you go up there and be the president. Why is the loss of interest?
Why is it that Brother Taylor, over there concerning Brother Branham at Ramada Inn, when we was out there, we listened to the Watergate system, it stopped right there. And you fall into the type of Moses for the Christian age that we're in. The body of Christ falling on. And why would we went right up to the next, very next place, the Best Western, I believe, was. And here it was, I said, if the Watergate would go to a king of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers. Right in, just, everything is perfect. God speaking and screaming at the church to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. You say, well, that don't make sense to me, but it does to me. So then, here it is in Atlanta. Here is the woman with the foot on the moon. Here is the thunders rolling through the air. Rolling, jumbling. Here is the whirlwind that catches Elijah, the church up. Here it is. You said, don't have nothing to do with it. Then why did I say, my father, and the horsemen thereof? Because I represent the church, which is Elisha, which is the double potion. What they got to do with the body? The change of the body, the translation, the seven thunders. Are you following me? Bringing in the Jews. These thunders, what happened? When the thunders came together, they began to rumble. And then with the rumbling, there was a war in heaven. What was the thunders? You remember the vision I had where the angel come down to heaven. And we brought it out that the last days, we said John 96 AD, John's vision was Daniel's prophecy. And that prophecy would be fulfilled in our day. Is that right? Well, what Daniel saw was what John spoke about. And what John spoke about was the war of Daniel, where Daniel being like the church, calling on God, the angels couldn't get through. God's always wanted to bless His people. He ain't never been satisfied with you being cut down here, off down here. But it's been darkness. He couldn't do nothing until Michael come, the archangel, which is showed over here at Calvary. And He broke through by setting a door in heaven. Broke through the middle wall of partition where Satan between heaven and earth. Rejected the Father up here because of our sins. Rejected the world down here because He didn't fit. Got up there. Where did He win the war? That's Michael winning the war. He set the door between heaven and earth. Took His angels and fought against Satan from Calvary. Hung it right there between heaven and earth. Made a door through the darkness, that the sunlight of glory could come down in this world. And we could go in and out by the door to the green pastures. Or He said, I'm the door. This doorway, Michael and his angels fought. Satan and his angels fought. The dispute over the body. And the Bible said there was no longer any place in heaven found for Satan. Somebody said, Brother Pine, it looks to me like if Satan was up there in heaven, heaven would be defiled. No. He wasn't in that heaven. He wasn't up there in the third heaven where God was. He was between heaven and earth. He had it in the second regions. That's why Jesus went between. It's because that's His kingdom. Somebody said, prove that. America one heaven. The millennium another heaven. The celestial earth the third heaven where the Ancient of Days come in. Where's Jesus? Over here in the millennium. Who tries to overthrow Him? Satan. Because that's the kingdom he was after. He tried to make that an America. Babylon. So then hanging between heaven and earth, here at the door. Jesus made the door of Pentecost where Peter got the keys and John saw it in heaven. And this door is the mind of Christ. That's the door. To get into the spiritual world, by translation, it's the door, which is the mind, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Faith. Here, the war in heaven. The war started. Satan couldn't stay there. Where is that war? You say it's in heaven. Sure, it's in heaven. Where? In the first heavens. No. No. Where is it? It took place in the second heavens. Somebody said, how do you prove that? In the courts right here, the priest made the change in the middle court. Jesus made the change in the middle age. Where is the war? It's in the church. Somebody said, what do you mean? Because that's where the church is. Now, wait a minute now. Somebody said, wait just a minute. Israel was in the first heavens.
Where was the battle? It's not in the spirit. It's not in the body. Where is it? It's in the soul.
It's the intellectual concept here. That's where the intellectual tree of knowledge is. That's what overthrew it.
Where is the battle? In between. Where is the door?
Up in heaven. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. I stand at the heart's door. Are you listening?
Where is the battle? It's in the heavens. Where is Michael at?
He's in the heavens.
Where is this war that's going on?
It's in the heavens.
Where is Satan cast out from?
It's the heavens.
Where is the heavens?
If grace is the second heaven, where are you? Somebody said the woman was in heaven. Then the child was born. Then the woman went into the wilderness. It don't say she was cast out of heaven. But it said Satan was cast out of heaven. Now somebody said, well, I don't get that. How could the woman still be in heaven and Satan be cast out? That's easy. Right here, it's easy when he makes it known. Right here, if Satan got into heaven by grace, then how does he get out of heaven? When the blood comes off the mercy seat, it only atones for the woman. She's still in heaven. Though she goes into the wilderness for times, time, and half time, which is the tribulation period. But Satan, grace is cut off from him and his followers. He's cast out into the earth, which means the carnal realm. Then he personifies himself. See the battle. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, Jesus said. When you see all these thunders, all these things happening in heaven, these clouds come together, what does that represent? It represents the battle between Michael and Satan and those angels, like Charlie's vision between Batman and Superman. See, the battle is between Michael. Now, you say, but how does that have anything to do with what we're doing? Because it's at this time that the woman's got her foot on the moon. It's at this time that the red dragon's coming in. That means that Michael's got to be in the land somewhere. That means that the thunders has got to start. And that means that the battle has got to be on between the hot and the cold. When the church, when the world tries to come into the church and take over the church, somebody said, where's the battle? Well, I don't like to say this because we've got some sisters sitting here and it hurts them, but they understand what I mean. When the devil tried to come in the other day with that miniskirt on, I'm not speaking of people and human beings, but the children of disobedience taken into captivity by Satan. When the other, two or three of them at one time, tried to come in here, when women come up here with the skating skirts on, the battle in the heavenlies going on. And when I raised up against them, and I wouldn't have it, I said, I'll close the church doors before them. Where is the battle? It's between the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the image out yonder, Satan. See, they're trying to force their way into the church, the streakers, the miniskirts, the bebops, the Jezebels. Every filthy low-down thing there is, they're trying to come in, and the hot and the cold's coming together. It brings on the thunders. What does it start? A mumbling and a grumbling. That's your thunders. Mumbling and groaning and roarings. Roarings, that's your thunders. That's in the heavenlies. Where's it at? In the heavenlies. Daniel's vision being fulfilled. The sanctuary becoming a desolation. Is that right? Abomination before God. Daniel said that'd be the end time. Here it is. Roaring, roaring, coming together. Here's the war. Here's the war. Look at Brother Branham. Every denomination in the world just about had hit him. A battle. A battle. Here it is, a battle going on. Michael to stand for his people. Here in this hour, the thunder's coming. Why? What's making the thunders? Is the hot and cold coming together? A brother sat down here on the campground, me up here preaching, and me saying, glory to God, hallelujah, believe what I'm telling you. He's sitting down there and said, ah, there's nothing to it. Ah, there's nothing to it. See, we're bumping together, a rumble and a mumble. You understand what I'm saying? The thunder's coming together. Then where is the lightning? It's the friction. Friction. That's what lightning is. When you rub something together, you can rub two stones together and get sparked. You rub two people. Somebody say, you rub me wrong, I'll spark off right quick. Somebody, if they want to get at a woman, say, boy, I can spark her. God will spark you too someday in hell. Yeah, they come together. The rumbling. sea coming together, the thunders. What is it? The mystery of the seven thunders being revealed. When the thunders come together, there's a mystery coming forth at that time. It has to be, what is the mystery? The finishing of the mysteries of God has to come together for what's happening. It's in that time that the translation, somebody said, where do you get that? The days of Noah, when the great floods came, then the ark raised up. The waters, somebody said, how will you get that out of waters? Waters is people. Jesus separated the waters from the waters. That above the firmament, below the firmament. We brought that out here one day, here at Calvary, where the firmament comes in between, and the dividing, the rending of the veil, the separation of the church and the world. And then back in tribulation where they all come together again, which is the integration of the races. We brought that back. And when the integration of the races come, what is it? Thunders. Thunders. When they come together, it's a war. Fighting. Thunders. Burning. Killing. Murder. Somebody said, well, the black man done it. No, no more than a white man. That wasn't it. God just using times. But look at this. You see what I'm saying in the church? The war is on. For Satan shall blaspheme the tabernacle of God, which is you, the name Jesus, with his Trinity teachings. Call ye Jesus' name, people, and holy rollers, and everything else. Them old Jesus' name, people, somebody said. Look at it. A war that's going on. Why? Satan is in the Trinity realm. The denominational world is being overthrown. The little spiritual Jesus' name, people, are a type of Jerusalem. When all nations gather in around Jerusalem, then Jesus comes in. And when all of the powers of hell gather in around the church, Jesus comes in, which is the word of revelation. For he shall suddenly appear within his saints, not in the heavens up there, but in the heavens out here. We see the sign of his coming. If you can't see the sign of his coming, you must be blind. In the heavens, why? Because I said the moonlight, the sunlight, and the starlight, and you're the stars. He was to make his nest among the stars, which is in the church, the moon realm. Because that's the twilight realm. It's the changeover from God's mind to man's mind. And it's the place on the moon where they set their foot, the nest. But notice this. It's in the twilight realm. He makes his nest among the stars. Why does he do it? Because he makes himself Jesus, and he stands at the threshold of eternity. He stays right there. He'll stay right there. How do you know him? He'll learn everything he can about the world, all of the education he can. Then he'll learn everything he can about religion. Standing at the threshold, the moon is the changeover place. Wants to make his door between heaven and earth. That's why the satellites look like this when they go up. To set it there. That's why the Lord said he turned the moon to blood. Because that would be his place of habitation. There, setting on fire. Because they build in that place between heaven and earth. The labs and the different things. He knows he can't conquer and rule the world down here. He's got to do it there. That's why America's been in the space race like she has. What is it? Notice this now. The ten kingdoms. The ten kingdoms. The days of the rumbling. What was said in the days of the ten kingdoms? The ten confederation of nations. It said, and in those days there shall be a stone that shall be hewed out of the mountain, and it shall not be with hands. And in that day, it will come rolling down through Babylon. And it will go down through the world. And it will tear down every kingdom of the world. That's exactly why at Fort Knox, the authorities, the law, the military forces had to take a back seat when I stood right up in the court. And I said, you can say what you want to say, but it ain't going to be that way. In the face of the lawyers, right there in the courtroom. I said, it ain't going to be that way. Why? Because God showed me one way it wasn't going to be that way. And we defied the entire government in the United States. Right there. And they got it on record. They caught it on tape. Where I told them they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. That this was God's kingdom coming in. And I told the generals and the measures, their kingdom's gone. And this is God's kingdom coming in. And we won out over it. The judge said, I think in this case I can change my decision. I thought in that case he could too. He told me to start with, said, we can't change it. It's already that way in court, on record. So we can't change it. But in this case, he thought he could. I thought he could too. The general didn't think he could change his mind, but in this case he did. What does he represent? The thunders are clashing. As they clash, the revelation's coming forward. The mystery. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The thunders are rolling. Look at them in the heavens. What does it mean? The lightning, which is the friction. What is this? When hot and cold come together. Sharp, cutting words of arrogancy. Sharp. Somebody said he cut me to my heart. Sharp, frictional words. Let's look at it for just a few more minutes, then I'll close. Sharp, frictional cuttings. Words coming forth. What is it? At that time, Lucifer goes out. Somebody said, how can that be? When you dispute with a man and you use the sword of your mouth, the Bible said he'll come back with the armies of heaven following him on the white horses, all arrayed in flying linen. Come back to free the church, the sons of God and Mary, and come back to the Jews after the tribulation. I wish we just had time to go in and break every step of that down. It's so beautiful. But he'll come back with the sword of his mouth. The blood would run up to the horse's bridle. Tidings out of the east troubling you. All of them gathered in around Jerusalem. Where do you see that? The Bible said this angel come out and one said, cast in your sickle. Look, he was sitting on the clouds, said, throw your sickle in. Why clouds? Because clouds represent people. People are waters in Revelation, vaporized up to the heavens. Come out of the body, the massive body of humanity, which is the lakes and the oceans, vaporized by the heat of God, made hot, brought up here in the heavens. They're heavenly born up here. Somebody said, but there are dark clouds up there too, Brother Pike. Heavenly angels, clear clouds, black clouds, evil angels. You say, but they're up there too. They're up there, but they got in without a wedding garment. Evil angels, that's not their place of habitation. They got in by grace. See, as the sun draws, it draws both. It draws little eggs up and turns them into frogs. The frogs, the unclean prophets, the spirits coming back down. You see them falling back down to earth when he goes to melt down. These clouds, heavenly clouds, clouds of the latter rain. Pray in the time of the latter rain, I'll make bright clouds. Clouds of the latter rain to bring a revelation, a reproduction of these things of the earth. Now then, notice the thing that's taking place. Here's the clouds. These frictions coming, the lightning's cutting. Always the preacher saying sharp things. The congregation saying sharp things, wrestling together. Never before have they done this. People used to say, well, you believe what you won't believe, I believe what I won't believe, and that's it. But the church and the world trying to mix the thunders. Satan cast out of heaven is lightning. I beheld him fall from heaven. What is it? When grace is taken away, knowledge comes in, the blood comes off the mercy seat because we know to do good. Satan can't stay in heaven when the blood comes off the mercy seat because he's only up there by grace. And so then he's cast out with the knowledge of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's cast out. We change worlds. God don't let him get down there in the world till he takes us out of the world. God let him have that place up there so he could get us out of the world. When we get out of the world, then he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the world. But you're not in the world. I've chosen you out of the world. So he comes down to personify himself. But God's raptured us out. The rapture took place. The translation. Somebody said, how? By the revelation, the revealing of what you are and who you are. If I say you're healed, when you're not healed, if you believe it, you're healed. It's just a matter of you making it effective. You can't make it effective until it comes, and it can't come until the season. When the season comes, everything's all right. Now, somebody said, Brother Pike, that means that everybody that hears this revelation, they made it. No, you don't. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. How many of you know that Pharaoh followed Moses? He finally got the revelation, but when he got down the Red Sea, it swallowed him up. Everybody hears it? No, sir. That's not it at all. That's the twins. But everyone that believes it, Enoch was translated by faith. You can't believe it till you hear it. That's why the church ain't been translated. It's because they never have heard the mysteries. And they couldn't believe it. Jesus has not given to the world to know the mysteries. to you, Paul, Peter, it's given. You follow me? That's going to be the great deciding factor right there. I listen real close. The thunders. Here is the thunders. Here is the friction in the church. It's going on now. Right now, in this audience, right now, I've got more than one mind here. I've got several minds here right now. Satan out there right now, he just can't stand it. The carnal-minded sisters that's sitting out there are women. The carnal-minded men are sitting out there. He can't stand it. It's about to drive him crazy. Why? He's losing his kingdom. He'll wear out the saints of God, and then the saints will get a vision. They'll rise and take the kingdom, and that's what they're doing right now, is taking the kingdom, because his kingdom's within them. And they're taking it by faith. They're realizing it, recognizing it, accepting it. And they're rising, taking the kingdom, overthrowing every kingdom of this world. Because in the days of the ten toes, the stone will shoot out of the mountain. That's Stone Mountain. Somebody said, I don't believe it. But it is. Stone Mountain right up here, and it's tight. That's why it's sitting around Atlanta. Worthless. A shotgun? Jesus? Who? They called him a bastard child? Jesus? Something out of Nazareth? Can't nothing good come out of Nazareth. What was the feller said? Kid and his little boy said, I could take Stone Mountain around in my pocket. Traded for a shotgun. No good. But the Bible said it filled all the world, becoming one of the great seven wonders. Here it's really going to be a wonder, because the king's here, a baseball, all these things is happening. Here in this area, everything's coming. Everything's coming. Even Monroe, the eyes of the world on Monroe, it's because of Atlanta up there. What's taking place up there? Looking for the suburban areas. Going to be the biggest place in the world, the way it's shaping up. What's over here? Couldn't be but one thing to come. That's Hell's Angels. Had to come to Atlanta. Somebody said, how? It did. Notice this one thing now. What actually took place? The thunders, the frictions, because as I saw the angel, Michael stood for his people in that hour. His people did not have the revelational strength or the faith or perseverance to overcome. But in that hour, the thunders was to be revealed. They were to receive the mysteries, realize who they were and what they are and where they're at, and rise up and walk over the others by taking the kingdom. And as the old slingshot of old, not miss it a hair's breadth. Know what they're speaking of. Not guess like the world is. Brother David Terrell, 90 days of fasting. A great giant among the people that saw the church stand up. And yet even he is waiting, been travailing for what God has blessed us with. See, it's not given by works. It's God's divine ordination. So then, the thunders, the friction, when the angel went to cast in his sickle, here's what he said, cast in the sickle, reap the grapes. Take the vintage, the vine, like we say, going through the grapevine. Put it in. The harvest is over. Take it. Throw it into the wine press of the wrath of the Almighty God, where we said the Jews was the wine press. Pull all nations in around the Jews. Get them into the wine press. What is the spiritual Jew, the sons of God? Pull all the religious parties in. Raise them up. Watch them walk over every one of them and trample them to death. The blood up to the horse's bridle. You'll see it in a little while. The nations is getting together right now. It's what Kissinger's doing. He's getting every one of them together. And Israel is going right along with him until they realize a broken covenant. When they do, all the nations will go in there to destroy her, because she's not going to link up with them. And Antichrist is not going to be satisfied until he has control of everything. Now you watch. The seven thunders. What is it? It's in the heart of the church, which was to be made known a revelation, not written in the book. Because it was to be revealed in the end time, the translation. Brother Branham said it was a translation. To be revealed in the end time. If anybody can be a Christian, anybody, and say that this right here that come forth has not translated them into the kingdom of God to make them know where they are, there must be something wrong with them. They couldn't be a Christian. They couldn't be a Christian. If this isn't the finishing of the mysteries of God, I'd like for somebody somewhere, somehow, to come to me and tell me what is it. Tell me what's left out there. Tell me what it is. Bring it to me. Show me what it is. Somebody come along and say, I got a revelation, and that's wonderful. If it's a true revelation from God, that's good. But all you did was go by the vine and pull a grape off. You're thrilled over it. That's wonderful. You ought to be, because it's from glory to glory that you're changed. But brother, I'm speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ that comes right from the book of Genesis all the way down to the book of Revelation. It goes from Russia over to China, over to the United States. It goes into your life, your marriage, everything. That reveals the order, not only of the nation, but the order of the family and the order of everything in the earth. Showing the perverted side and bringing out the other side of it. Listen. Those thunders, those frictions, Satan cast out of heaven. You say, where is that going to be? China will be rejected of the UN in the time to come. Now watch and see. Now, she's had a place among the UN. Is that right? She has. But she'll be rejected of it because everything will look well until they find out when Catholicism, like the Pope, come over here and said, we want China to come into the UN. When she realizes that China will never subject herself to the Antichrist. But that China intends to rule, out she goes. Because that Pope is going to be the antitype of the man-child. And he'll never have her in there. Because she intends to rule, her religion is different. She believes in a Buddhist and a Confucius and everything else. And she's not going to bow down to a Catholic religion. She knows what happened in the dark age to the Roman powers, and she's out to take over the world. You can believe that. You say, how do you get that? Look how she allied with America to get them to fight with her against the Japs, and then turn right around, and then what did she do? She turned right on America. See, she's her own nation. She's an individualist, and it's going to be that way. Now, listen to this as I close. The thunders are taking place, the rumbling in the elements, the war in heaven. That's what a storm represents. Michael standing for his people. Satan cast out into the earth. Grace being over. He can't find any other place. You say, how can grace be over, Brother Pike? Because a person that's become a Christian don't need grace. They've got righteousness. A person does not need a covering of a dispensational grace. They've already got the grace of God and the salvation on the inside. And when God lifts it after the child is born, and the child is born at the woman with the foot on the moon, the child is born. And Revelation said just as quick as it's born, it's caught up in the revelation. It goes up to the throne right here. That's why America is going out. The days of the Gentile is over. The blood's coming off the mercy seat. The government is changing to the Eastern world. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Well, you'll find out Kissinger's more lined up with them than he is with us. Now just wait and see. The Arabs love him. Why? Because they're that bond's child. It's the antitype of the Antichrist, where all the world of magic comes from. Look at it over here, just for a few minutes. The dispensation of the Gentiles is over. That's why that the Jews is coming back in at this hour. That's why you heard so much about Catholics. It come Jew, Catholic, Protestant. When it went out, it went back in short terminology. Protestant, Catholic, Jew. First it was Catholic on television. Now it's Jew. See, the last part, which means the resurrection of the body, the redemption of the soul, the confederation of churches, confederation of nations, all coming in, everything coming into a cluster, God choosing this area over here as the last final place. Like Brother Branham said, 77, and back to the east. But Antichrist has got to have, and what did I say about this year? I said he'd start revealing himself this year because he's going to have a reign. Didn't the paper state in big letters I read to you said the stars that just crossed, Uranus coming into Scorpio, shows that Satan has now come on the scene and he's starting a 7-year reign. Is that right? Signs in the elements. Said there'd be signs in the heavens. Seven there for the signs, Jesus said. For types and shadows. So at that time the thunders was to start, because if he is coming to the earth, and if there's a reign of 7 years in the earth for Satan, that means he's been cast out of heaven. That means he's got to go into a personification. That means there had to be a revelation somewhere that's excluded him. That means the mercy seats had to be cleared of the blood. The days of the Gentiles over. We're on the verge of every bit of it. The woman with the foot on the moon, the red dragon, everything taking place right here this particular time. Is that right? That's why we need to watch and pray. A lot of times I say something about your baby. It sounds ever so good, but you better run it through. You don't know where you're standing. God sees your mischief and your evil a lot of times, and because of that, he prepared your heart to be in that place where the world ever was, to carry his types and do what he's going to do. So then caught up the thunders, the rumbling, the whirlwind, the rapture. Everything is over. The mysteries of the seven thunders, what are they? It was to rapture the church. What comes after that? Satan goes out of heaven, starts his reign in the earth. Is that right? The Jews come in. The woman flees into the wilderness because of the place prepared for. Just as quick as the man-child is born, which man-child is coming forth right now? He's caught up to the throne, which was Ricky coming out of that prison, going through that. After Calvary, the man-child went up. Ricky, after that, coming out of that, what happened? The name went up to the president. That government was overthrown. The new one come in. Is that right? The millennium government come in. The standards changed over. It's a positive fact that Satan, when he comes out, his seven-year reign starts, which means that the opening of these thunders in the book of Revelation, when the thunders and the lightning started, what happened? When all the thunders started, the lightning started, then the rent veil come open. And they looked inside of that rent veil and saw the revelation, which was the ark of his testament. They saw it. That's why J.T. said in this building right here, no matter what my tent is, he said, I saw that ark in this building right here. That's why his tent was like a cloud by day and a fire by night. That means that we've come down to the end of the way, the end of the trail. The thunders are rumbling. Things are taking place. Something's happening, just like when these shirts come in. It's another majesty, his majesty shirt here. These shirts coming in, every little thing, typical, speaking of it. The Lord screaming at you, saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And then after hearing it, some wife will go home and she'll say to her husband, do you believe that? What do you mean, does he believe that? You don't even know what you're saying. Because you never did hear nothing to start with. You never did know nothing. How could you ask him to believe, if he believed that, because you don't even know what that is? You're just all mixed up. You never heard had an ear to hear. You know why? Because the Bible said, treasure up to yourself with that impenitent heart you got, the wrath of God. Because it's coming. You wouldn't let the word penetrate your heart. But the sword of his mouth was the word of revelation that was to destroy the nations. And the brightness of his coming was the light that would destroy the beast image and take away the shadows of night and bring in the world of light and the very image itself. Bring it from the dark room. That was the light in which all the nations shall walk because it will become a government. All the nations will walk in this knowledge, this understanding, this light. In the days of the 10 kings, the little stone came out of the mountain and it tore down everything in the entire world. The mysteries of the seven thunders. What is it? The battle in the heavenlies. Daniel's vision being fulfilled. Michael standing for his people. The rent veil. The revelation. The ark of the testament being revealed. What comes after that? Remember the vials. The vials. Remember after the trumpet sounded, then come the vials. There is your earthquakes. There is your plagues. There, my brother and sister, is all of these tornadoes that's striking. You understand what I mean? For at the sounding of the last trumpet, the mysteries of God should be finished. I want you to stand with me. Somebody said something is going to take place. My brother, you missed it. Something did take place. When God come and spoke and said, let there be, there was things happening all the time. You could see that because it was natural. But the wicked shall not see when good cometh. That world that he's speaking into existence now, you don't see it, but it's being constituted. Somebody said, where is it at? It's a mine. It's a mine. Once the mine is fully constituted, the world makes itself known. It's the mine. He's constituting the mind of God that the world of God can come into view. He's speaking this world of types and shadows out by the voice of him that speaketh, whereas it's not you that speaketh, but it's him that speaketh. It's his mind revealing itself, changing, transformating.